Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's reading from Hebrews picks up right where last week's left off. Last week we heard of the Israelites who were unable to enter the promised land because of their unbelief. They trusted their fear over God's word of promise. The warning in that section was for us to take care, lest there be found in any of us such an evil or unbelieving heart. And the encouragement was to exhort one another as long as it is called today, that none of us would be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So chapter 4 continues with the same thought, but from a different perspective. You see, instead of looking at the Israelites who were denied entry into the promised land, now the author draws our attention to those who did enter the land in the days of Joshua. And the author invites us to see ourselves in those Israelites. He invites us to imagine what it must have felt like to finally enter the promised land, but to do so without your loved ones. There's a few memories that I have of Michigan football that will stick with me my whole life. I remember going to games with my dad when I was a kid. I remember sitting together and watching bowl games on New Year's Day. I remember when they won the championship in 1997. And I remember watching the biggest games at the end of last year with my dad in the house that they rented here in Albuquerque. I've also got a lot of disappointing memories of watching disappointing games together. But I am thankful for those memories of sitting together and watching our team win. I'm reminded of fans of the 2016 Cubs. A team that hadn't won the World Series for 100-plus years, and they finally win, and how many interviews there were where someone said something to the effect of, "I wish my dad could have been here to see this. He was a lifelong fan. He would have loved this." But it's not an experience that's just limited to sports. I think of my cousin walking down the aisle on her wedding day without her dad, because he had died from cancer a few years earlier. Or I think of new parents rejoicing in the birth of their baby, but wishing that their own parents were still around to hold their grandchild. There's a lot of experiences in life that are celebrations mixed with a little bit of sadness when we remember those who aren't there, those who would have loved to see what we see. And so, yes, the children of Israel entered the promised land, but their parents didn't. Neither did their grandparents. And so the writer of the Hebrews reminds us of this reality and tells us, while the promise of entering the rest still stands for us, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For the good news came to us just as it came to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith to those who listened. The message didn't benefit them, and it was of no benefit because they didn't believe it. But we who have believed have entered that rest. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Now, we already get a taste of that rest every time we gather here around our Lord's gifts, but ultimately we're waiting for our eternal rest. For our eternal promised land will be a paradise, a place where we will rest from our work as God rested from his on the seventh day of creation. Now think back to the story of creation. God rested on the seventh day because it was very good. Creation was complete. It was exactly the way he wanted it to be. And so instead of being focused on creating, he was focused on blessing, on sustaining, on living in communion with his finished creation. It's like when you finally finish renovating a room in your house, maybe the man cave. You worked to build the entertainment center. The shelving unit is set up. You worked to get the TV hooked up. You even moved that old couch in there so you'd have a place to sit. And when the work is done, you do sit. You sit back and enjoy watching the game with a few friends, no longer working, but simply enjoying the completed project. You've entered a type of rest. But it's no comparison for the rest that waits you in your eternal salvation, your eternal rest. For in the man cave, you still have to get up and go to the kitchen to get some snacks. You still have to leave the man cave occasionally to go to work, or to the doctor, or the grocery store. You can't stay in the man cave forever, no matter how badly you want to. And so it's not true rest. But God's rest for you is true rest. For God's people, for you, when your last day comes, you will enter God's rest and rest from your works as he rested from his. There'll be no more works needed to reconcile God and man. Christ has done it all. And what a beautiful time that will be. But the author of the Hebrews reminds us it's not here yet. At least not for those of us sitting in this room today. For that time has not yet come. We are still waiting to enter our eternal rest. And so what do we do while we wait? Well, the answer he gives us is we strive. The Greek word there includes the idea of diligence. We are diligent in our efforts to enter God's rest, lest we fall away like the generation of Israelites who never made it into the promised land. You see, one of the dangers of waiting is that we are easily distractible creatures. When you wait in line at the grocery store, you find yourself flanked by candy and Pepsi and gum and a whole host of things you don't need. And if you're not careful, you might find in your cart a surplus of sugar by the time you reach the cash register. And so also, as we wait for God's rest, we find ourselves surrounded by distractions. The pleasures of the flesh, lustful desires, greed, pride, self-pity, anger. Any one of these distractions can be the beginning of our undoing. Any one of these distractions can prove eternally fatal. And so Hebrews encourages us to keep moving forward toward our heavenly rest, to strive for it, to struggle, to fight to get there at all costs. And that's why it's important to remember that the way into God's rest is through his Son, through the promises that were given in his word. It's what the first generation of the Israelites failed to do when they reached the borders of the promised land the first time. They doubted God's promise to give them the land. They did not hold to his word. And so God gave them a new word, a different word. He told them that they would not enter the land. Instead, they would wander in the wilderness until they died off, and their children would enter the land instead. Of course, the Israelites, in true Israelite fashion, decided they preferred God's first promise to give them the land, but it was too late. Ignoring God's new word, they tried to enter the promised land without God's blessing, and they were soundly defeated and sent away. God's word makes the difference. Hebrews warns us, don't find yourself doomed to the same fate. Strive to enter God's rest, lest we fall by the same sort of disobedience. And as with last week, the disobedience isn't simply doing bad things, it's unbelief. And so we strive to enter God's rest by fighting against unbelief, by clinging to the word of God, clinging in faith to the promises that he has given us there. Strive to enter God's rest by returning daily to your baptism. It's one of the great paradoxes of the Christian life. Strive to enter God's rest. The way that we strive and struggle and fight and claw isn't by trying harder to be a better Christian. It's by dying to self, by doing nothing to earn our own righteousness, but simply throwing ourselves on the mercy of Jesus. So often we're tempted to add our own righteousness to the righteousness of Christ. But in truth, we have no righteousness to offer. And so rather than helping by adding our own works, we simply make things worse. Trying to enter God's rest by our own righteousness is like throwing water on a grease fire. It does no good, just makes the problem worse. The water of our righteousness will not put out the fire of sin. We need God's water, we need the water of baptism. Strive to enter God's rest means stop relying on yourself and your own works and your own righteousness, and instead rely on the promise of God given to you in the water of your baptism. Strive to enter God's rest by clinging in faith to God's word, for it is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Earthly swords can be sharpened enough to cut through flesh and bone, but God's word is sharp enough to cut through the spiritual realities. Now that's a warning for us if, like the first Israelites, we fall into unbelief, because God's word will cut through our excuses and our self-justifications. It'll leave us naked and defenseless before him to whom we must give an account. But that's not all the word does. It kills, but it also makes alive. God's word is not a mere vibration in the air that eventually fades away. It's living. And God's word is not merely ink on the page. It's active. And the Greek word translated active is literally energy. God's word is energy. It is full of living energy to carry out his will, either to bring us into the promised rest or to send us away into the wilderness. So Hebrews says, strive to enter God's rest. Trust his word of promise, for he alone can bring you into that promised land. And in your baptism, he has promised to do just that. And so ultimately, this chapter of Hebrews gives us simply an honest assessment of our life as a child of God. There are distractions all around. There are temptations all around. In the midst of such things, God's children are called to trust his promise and to strive to enter the rest he has in store for us. Called to encourage one another and to support one another, lest any be left behind. Strive to enter God's rest. We're not there yet, but we are the people of God. You are a child of God already today, adopted into his family through the water of baptism. And just as he safely delivered his children into the promised land in the days of Joshua, so also he will deliver you into the promised rest of the new creation. So strive to enter that rest. Trust the Lord to bring you there, for he has promised to deliver you safely home. He has given you that word, and while the grass may wither and the flower may fade, the word of God will stand forever. In Jesus' name, amen.